Well, the Wentz family, we love Stony Creek Church. We have been a part of your ministry and your family here since 1998. We really, really love you guys. It's so good to be here. As Randy said, I'm a campus missionary at Michigan State University. I also have my own ministry called the Michigan School of Apologetics. And I'm so excited to share this message with you. Can I start with a story? You guys like stories? Well, with the Michigan School of Apologetics, just a side ministry I do, sometimes I make videos and I upload them to YouTube. And one day, I uploaded a YouTube video that I made on atheism. Atheism is the belief that, you know, there is no God and religious people are stupid and, you know, atheists are the smart ones and religious people are the dumb ones. And I uploaded this video, and with a matter of 5 minutes, my phone rang. And it was a man from Arizona who had just watched my video and was calling to challenge me. Now, like Randy said, I was out in Boston for 15 years, so I was debating atheists for over 15 years at Harvard. And over time, you ever get one of those days where you just don't care? You're frustrated. You're not very Christian. You know what I'm talking about? And it was one of those days I was going around, I was frustrated, it was probably a bad day. I upload this video just because I should, and the phone rings, and this guy's trying to convert me. This atheist is trying to convert me. So I just stopped. I'm like, okay, what am I going to say to him? And this is what came out of my heart. I said, I don't know what I call him. I'd probably call him sir or something like that. I was like, sir, but my wife and I have been married 23 years. Between those 23 years of her and I being married, we have gone through a divorce of parents, suicide of a best friend, my sister being killed by a drunk driver, relocating and moving back home. I got diagnosed with cancer in 2014. I recently broke my leg and my hip in half in a bike accident. My wife was diagnosed with diabetes. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis recently. My son just got epilepsy. And my daughter has been struggling with migraines. And on the phone, I was just like, what do you have to offer me? You know, here on the screen in 1 Peter 3:15, many of us are familiar with this verse. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason that the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. The book of 1 Peter was written to Christians all over the world who are struggling, really, really struggling. And for the first time in my life, people are starting to come up to me and say, Aaron, like, how do you do it? Like, what makes you tick? How can you keep on keeping on? How do you do that? And for the first time, I'm starting to understand 1 Peter 3:15. That 1 Peter 3:15 was written to struggling Christians. And when someone sees a Christian struggling, really, really struggling, but they still have a smile on their face, they still have joy, they still have hope, it made me sit down and think about this message I wanted to give to you to say, Aaron, what makes you tick? What gives you joy? What can you present to Stony Creek this morning to tell them where you find your joy and where you find your hope? So I'd like to present to you this morning a sermon or a message on joy, on where I find my joy and my hope that maybe it will encourage you. Let me tell you another story. Pastor Randy told you that I'm a campus missionary at MSU and I do international ministry. Well, you ever had one of those days where you were like, you know, nobody loves me, nobody cares, I just go eat worms, you know? And it was one of those days where I've been doing evangelism and sharing Jesus for a long, long time. And some days are great and some days are terrible. And last September was a beautiful sunny day. I was out on the campus by myself because I should share Jesus. That's what I do. And I had this display that I set up, and it's a way to attract students to come over and talk to me when we have a spiritual conversation. And it was that day I was just kind of like, you know, and I literally said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, is what I'm doing right now really matter? Well, 5 minutes later, a Chinese student comes up to the board, and Chinese people are very precious. There's over 122 countries represented at MSU, and there's a large population of Chinese students at MSU. She came up to the sketchboard, and she said, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, let me tell you, let me explain it to you." And when I was done, I could tell she was very interested, but I couldn't see if she was understanding what I was saying. And so I got a Chinese friend of mine on the phone. I said, "Hey, talk to her. You know, see if we can set up a Bible study." So he talked to her in Chinese, and they got it all set up. And so I met with her a week later, and this precious Chinese lady, she's 45 years old, she's a professor in China. For the first time in my life, I was literally sitting across the table from someone who had never heard one thought, concept, idea, Bible verse, anything about Christianity. Zero. Like a Muslim believes in God, they believe in heaven, they believe in hell, they believe in sin. I mean, they've heard all those concepts. But this Chinese, she knew nothing. I mean, absolutely zero. It's like trying to plant, but there's nothing. I was like, there's just dirt, you know? It's like, there's just dirt. And so here we go. And so I'm starting to talk to this Chinese lady, and our Bible study, she was so hungry. Our Bible studies were 4 hours long. 5 hours long. And one thing I noticed about those Bible studies was that I had a lot of joy. And then one day, after spending like 60, 70 hours of Bible study with her, I'm like, her name was Wei. I was like, "Wei, do you believe in God?" "Yes." "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God?" "Yes." "Do you believe that you're a sinner? You need to be forgiven?" "Yes." "Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins?" "Yes." "Do you believe he was buried and rose from the dead?" "Yes." "And you're trusting in him as your savior?" "Yes." I said, "Wei, you're a Christian." She said, "I am." I said, "You are." And then from there, she just got more hungrier and more hungrier. And our Bible studies were 6 hours long. And, you know, usually when I sit with somebody for coffee or something, I'm like, "Oh, man, my legs hurt. I got MS. It's like, I got to stand up, you know?" And my Bible studies were 6 hours long. I'm like, "Let's keep going. Let's do this. Let's keep going." And she was excited. I was excited. And Chinese students, they come to MSU, and they study for a minute, and they got to go back to China. A godless, pagan, communist country. And I had to send her, so Tanya and I got a van, we drove her to Chicago to go to O'Hare, and as we were getting to the airport, it got very quiet. You know, and we're unpacking the luggage, and we're getting her off, and Chinese people don't hug. Like, Christian people freak out Chinese people because they don't hug. Like, we hug, "Hey, how's it going?" Chinese people are like this, you know, they don't hug, you know. And so when we were saying goodbye to her, she looked at us and she started crying, and she came and she hugged us, and then it was like, "Okay, this is awkward." And she backed up. And for the first time in my life, I saw a woman out of joy and sorrow and gratitude just collapse. She just fell. And Tanya and I caught her. Because she had just so much joy and gratitude for finding Jesus. And the sermon this morning is about joy. You say, "Aaron, where do you get your hope from, your joy from?" Those kind of stories, they give me joy. Everybody in the world wants to make a difference. We want to live for something bigger than ourselves. When you literally change the life of someone for eternity, you're literally giving somebody eternal joy. Wei will have joy forever and ever and ever and ever. And in return, that gives me joy. On your screen here, 1 Thessalonians 3:9, it says, this is Paul the Apostle writing to the church in Thessalonica. And this verse just is like, "Lord, that's how I feel." When Paul planted his church and he reached people for Jesus, he was writing to them, and he says, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you?" Literally serving people, giving your life to people, helping people, and especially giving them the gospel and seeing their life eternally change, Paul is saying that gave him joy. And when you change someone's life and you give the gospel and you're invested in someone's life and you do something that will last for eternity, you will find a joy that you've never, ever experienced in your life. The next verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20, if I were to ask you, what is the Apostle Paul's glory and his joy? You'd say, what's the Apostle Paul's glory and his joy? Well, you'd say, Jesus. Jesus is Paul's glory and his joy. And there's truth to that, but look at this verse. This is fascinating. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown, in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Paul looked at the people that he had won to the Lord, and he said, you are my glory and my joy. And for the first time in my life, I really, really sense what Paul was talking about. That when you're sitting there and you have literally changed the life of someone forever and ever and ever in Jesus Christ, you have eternal joy. Well, how do these stories relate to you? What are my stories, how do they relate to you? I want to stand here on this stage and tell you that I'm sure as the offering buckets go by every single week and you plop your money and your check into this eternal abyss of not knowing where the money is going, right? Okay? I'm here on the stage to tell you there is no way on God's earth that I could have done that study with Way if it wasn't for you. Your money has enabled me to reach people for Jesus, and the story of Way is your story. Christianity is a contact team sport. There is no way that I could give my full-time life for 21 years of reaching people for Jesus if it wasn't for individuals and churches collectively enabling me to do what I've done. So I want you this morning to have joy that my story is your story. A missionary story is your story. When you give and you participate, you should look at these stories and say, I was a part of that. I enabled that to happen. It should give you joy. Make you excited. Make you excited. You guys ever heard of this dude named Ben Affleck, maybe? Some of you, right? The Batman, right? Ben Affleck. Well, some of you may not know that Ben Affleck is a philanthropist. He said, you know, most of my Hollywood friends are selfish and miserable. He said, I wanted to figure out not to be selfish and miserable. So he started a foundation in Africa where he helps people get out of poverty, get fresh water, and education. He said that philanthropy is actually very, very selfish because you're the one, in the end, that benefits the most. So missionary work, evangelism, church work is hard work, but in the end, you know what? I got a lot of joy. So with that atheist that called me, what are you trying to convert me to? Nothing? Really? That's your pitch to me? You're converting me to nothing? I have an eternal joy that you can't rob me from. I'm serving a God that's real and alive and changing lives, and I see it right in front of my face, and I'm excited about that. My mother started doing like abortion counseling ministries in her older age. Good for her. And she was able to find a broken woman who is experiencing abortions and the trauma of an abortion, and counsel her and see her become a Christian and see her then find Jesus and find the joy of Jesus, and now her to get married and now have children. And whenever she talks about this lady that she won to the Lord, guess what she has on her face? She has joy because she's done something that matters for eternity, guys. The Church of Jesus Christ is the enterprise that God has established on the earth that we can give out eternal joy to the world. And in return, on your chart here, it's you, me, we get the joy. We get the height of the joy. My son wants to go on around the world, not just down the street. He wants to go around the world. 10 different countries in 5 months serving others and sharing Jesus Christ with YWAM starting in September. I'm like, go. Do it. Don't wait. Raise the money. Let's do this. Why? Because I know that he will have joy that will last him forever. It will stay with him the rest of his life. Well, when we serve others, we get the joy. Not only do we get joy, but the people we serve, the people that get one to the Lord, they get joy. Jesus told a parable. Look at this parable up here. It's one of the most simplest of parables that Jesus told. It's only like a sentence or two long. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. What Jesus is saying is that Jesus is a treasure that when you find it, it gives you the greatest joy in the world, and you'll do whatever you can to keep a hold of it and even sell what you have to keep onto it and tell others about it when you really, really get it. There's a student I've served at MSU. He became a Christian. He was a molecular biologist. A friend of mine witnessed to him. I followed up and witnessed to him. He became a Christian. He said, this is the best thing in the world. And he told his mom and dad, I'm not going to be a molecular biologist anymore. And he joined a different campus ministry to share the gospel with others. I'm like, go. Do it. Go for it. To the demise of his parents. But it was like, you know, it was like, go. Do it. Spread the joy. Spread the wealth. Because he found the treasure. He found a treasure. That's what it's all about. You know, in Luke 15, many of us are familiar with the story of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, right? The prodigal son. And I love this story because here in Luke chapter 15, this is a famous story called the prodigal son. And when this lost kid came home, which is a picture of salvation, it says he was dead and alive, he was lost and he is found. So they begin to do what, guys? Celebrate. Joy. There's joy. When a lost person comes home, we should celebrate. I love this verse too. It says, rejoice with me. Right? When this lost kid comes home, it says, rejoice. Get it? Rejoice. Joy. Have joy. I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Even heaven has joy and rejoices when someone is lost and gets found. Recently, I was with a bunch of campus pastors who are doing other campus ministry work here in Michigan, and I told them a story recently within the last year or two about this young girl named Danielle that was starting to come to our small group, and she was very interested in, she began to ask questions, and one day I really shared the gospel with her, and then over this last summer, this past summer, she became a Christian. You know what, the way I work is kind of like, you know, just keep plodding along, keep serving, put your head down, get the work, keep going. And all these guys said, well, Aaron, did you guys celebrate? And I just looked at my partner and I'm like, no. He said, this girl came to know Jesus and you guys didn't have a celebration for her? I was like, no. I'm like, that was wrong. You know, if heaven rejoices and celebrates, we should celebrate. Because there's joy. It's the greatest thing in the world when someone comes to know Jesus. Think about it. We have the best news in the world. Think about the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead that early Sunday morning, it says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with what? Joy. And they ran to go tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings. I love that. It's not, hey, y'all, what's going on? What are you doing here? No, greetings, he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. When they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, they were afraid, but they had joy. You guys, we have the best news in the world. That's what keeps me going. I have joy. I mean, I always act like it. But I got something bubbling in my heart that I have joy. The people I serve get joy. This is awesome. And this morning, if for some reason, if you were to leave this room and go back to your car, go back to your normal life, and you were to say to yourself, my life is boring, my life is meaningless, I have nothing to live for, I want to encourage you to come to the greatest source of joy and love in the universe. It's Jesus Christ. By definition, God is love. God is joy. He is life. And God made a way for us to have a relationship with him, that we've sinned, we've been selfish, we've hurt others and hurt God, but God didn't say literally, to hell with you. He came down and took our hell and literally suffered the worst death in the world by dying on the cross for our sins and being buried and rising from the dead, proving that he's the Son of God. And he offers you hope and joy and forgiveness and an eternal relationship because he loves you. It's the best deal in the world. Receive it. Don't go home without it. So let's review. When you serve others, especially leading someone to the Lord and being a part of the eternal work of the gospel ministry, you get joy. You find joy. When you tell others, that person also gets joy. Now, you might be saying, well, what about Jesus? Like, where does Jesus fit into all this, right? Well, recently, I was, you guys ever heard of the story of when Jesus turned water into wine? You guys heard that story, right? Well, I've often wondered about that story about Jesus turning water into wine. I'm like, that's kind of a, my brain works. I'm like, that's kind of a funny story. You know, it's like his first miracle, yay! He's going to go to a banquet and a wedding and make water into wine. That's kind of funny. Especially as a kid when I was growing up, when you're not supposed to have wine and Jesus makes wine, you're like, ooh, Jesus is, you know, he's, ooh, you know? It's like, wow, what is he up to? And I ran across this verse in Hebrews 12:2, and it really started to make me think years ago. Hebrews 12:2, it says, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Wait a second. For the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. There was a joy. There was something that Jesus could see and know that was going to give him joy that he endured the cross. And one day I was reading through the Bible, and I ran across this verse in Isaiah 25. If you've never seen this verse in Isaiah 25, it'll blow your mind. In Isaiah 25, it's a prophecy about what's going to happen in the future when Jesus establishes his kingdom. And all the people that Jesus has won, all the people that have come home to Jesus, all the people that will be saved from around the world, all tribes, tongue, and nations, we will be gathered together in the kingdom for this great banquet. This great banquet from all nations, tribes, and tongues, and it's going to be a wedding banquet. It's going to be a beautiful banquet, and the head of the banquet is going to be Jesus. And look what it says here in Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. He mentions wine twice, y'all. And good wine, too, right? So this is, and Jesus knew this prophecy, right? Of course, Jesus being the Christ, he knew this prophecy. He knew the book of Isaiah. So when Jesus knew this prophecy that someday in the kingdom, the Christ is going to serve wine at a great wedding banquet, where there's going to be at a banquet and a wedding banquet. What is that? That's joy. That's celebration, right? So when Jesus in John chapter 2 served wine at a wedding banquet, he was declaring to the Jewish people that the head of the banquet, the Messiah, is here. The one in Isaiah 25 who is going to serve you wine in the great feast at the great heavenly banquet, when that day comes, the one that you read about is the one here with you now. In Isaiah 25:8, it says, at this banquet, at this time, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears from all faces, and he will remove people's disgrace from all the earth. That's going to be a time of joy, guys. That's going to be a time of celebration. And then in Isaiah 25:9, we will be there. If you're in Christ and you're saved, this is what we will say someday. Isaiah 25:9, in that day, right, when Jesus has his great banquet, in that day, they will say, we're looking at Jesus, and we're going to say this, surely this is our God. We trusted in him. He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. That's what we're going to say. That's our future, guys. We have something greater to live for than a paycheck, than stuff here on this earth. That someday we're going to see the one who died for our sins, and we're all going to collectively say, this is him. We waited for him. We can see him. We've trusted him. Let us rejoice. Let us have joy and be glad in his salvation. And so this sermon I entitled Eternal Joy. Why did I call it Eternal Joy? Because when you literally change the destiny of someone's life, you get joy. The person that you've won to the Lord gets joy. And Jesus himself gets joy. When people are coming to Christ, people are worshiping him. When people come to Christ, what do? They raise their hands and they worship him. Jesus gets joy. And someday, it's going to be a joyous occasion. We're all there together. And so when you give and you go and you serve, you get joy. So let me close with just a moment of challenge for you. First, I want to say thanks to you. Again, when we drop our gifts and we do our online giving, we kind of think like it's going to this great abyss, right? So if I can be here as a physical representation to tell you, thank you. And Wei thanks you, and these other people thank you. You know what? We just had a party at my house. So I'm learning to celebrate, guys. I'm learning to celebrate. We just had a party at my house. A whole room full of Chinese people, right? And I've been working with this Chinese student for 3 years, and I finally had to say goodbye to him. You know what he did? He hugged me. Right? Chinese people don't do what? They don't hug, okay? So he hugged me, and he said, Aaron, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be a Christian. Come on now! Let's go! Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Joy. It's exciting, guys. So my challenge to you is keep doing what you're doing here at Stony. Lift up your eyes. God is using you. Be encouraged. And I want to also challenge you. Say, like, think of my mom. In her older age, she said, I gotta keep doing something for Jesus. I gotta keep serving. I gotta keep being a difference. Maybe there's something that God has impressed upon you to do. Do it. Last year, I was like, I wanted to take my kids on a missions trip to Mexico. Do I have the money for that? No. That's a lot of money to take 4 people to Mexico on a missions trip. But I'm like, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. And that touched my family because I want them to have the joy of seeing others and serving others and blessing others. And God did it. If you have a dream, if you have a passion, if you have an idea to do something, to help others and serve others and bring the gospel to the nations, now's the time. Don't wait. Do it. Go for it. Go for it. And again, my son is doing a missions trip. If you want to talk to him about his missions trip and see how you can help him on his missions trip, he would love for you to talk to him. Kyle, raise your hand. That's my son, Kyle. Right? And then lastly, the last slide is that as a way that I can give back to you, for all that God has taught me. A few years ago, I started a ministry called the Michigan School of Apologetics. And I thought, you know, it's a way for me to like take what God has taught me and help other people know what they believe, why they believe it, how to share the gospel. And so Corey McCluskey is on my board of directors. And we asked Pastor Randy and the elders here if we could do a one-day apologetics conference. And they graciously said yes. And so October 18th from 9 to 3:30 p.m., we're going to have an all-day apologetics conference. It's for you. It's for your friends. It's for the community. So if you have friends in the community that go to other churches, they're welcome to come. The fee is $25. It's an all-day seminar. It includes lunch. And so if you have any questions about that, please see me. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on October 18th. And I'm hoping to really bless you guys. So the name of the conference is called Contenders Apologetics Conference, Contending for the Truth in a Skeptical World. Many people feel like they have a squirt gun, and they're walking out into the world with a squirt gun to try to make a difference for Jesus. I want to equip you and arm you to be a better ambassador for Jesus as you grow, serve, and go. Amen? Let's close in prayer together. Lord, we are so thankful that we get to be a part of joy that lasts forever. Lord, when we help others, we get joy. When we bring people to Christ, we get joy. When other people find Jesus, they get joy. And Lord, you get joy from our worship of you. And someday we'll be around that great banquet table with a lot of joy. Lord, I pray for Stony Creek that they will continue to lift their eyes to heaven and know that they're doing something that lasts forever. Lord, give them joy, we pray. Amen.